From Capybara Media, this is You're Gonna Be Great, the self-care podcast that supports you through life's ups and downs with real mental health and wellness conversations delivered via pop culture. Here's your host, M. Elizabeth Evans.
Hey everyone, welcome to You're Gonna Be Great. Today I'm here with Cynthia Loveland and we're going to talk about masks in the ACOTAR series. Welcome, Cynthia.
Hey everyone.
Today we're going to talk about masks in the ACOTAR series, especially ACOWAR. Sarah J. Maas loves to do that whole concept of like people wearing different masks for different situations. And I really want to talk about the idea that you're essentially pretending and therefore you're a different person, which I mean, I just don't think is true.
I was in a psychology class once when they talked about how we put on different masks based on our situations. Like if we bumped into somebody on the street and greeted them with the same like vigor that we greet a good friend of ours, people would think we're crazy.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's not like, so the idea that we're different people because we're presenting differently, I just don't think that that's a thing. Like, I think that we're all, you know, we present in ways that is the most effective for us socially and that gets us what we need. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're pretending like we're all made up of a lot of different parts. We're a lot of different people all the time. And I told you I was reading that book, Good Inside. Mm-hmm. And it talks about internal family systems a lot. It's a parenting book or like a reparenting yourself book, but it talks about like the nature of the mind is subdivided into an indeterminate number of subpersonalities or parts. And the whole concept is like, the idea is to try to kind of maximize, I might be getting this wrong because, you know, I'm not a therapist or an expert, but what I understood is that the goal is to kind of maximize the parts of you that are like, I guess, for lack of a better word, the most healthy, but accepting that you're a lot of different parts. And that goes back to ACOWAR. You and I have talked about this a lot, like how when they're going to have the meeting, when Farah and the Night Court are going to have a meeting with all of the other High Lords, and Farah's like, let's go in and pretend and be who we really are, no more pretending, let's just be our authentic selves. And then they go in and it's only the Night Court who like physically attacks other people like the whole time. Like they're like yanking ass off of, you know, people from the Autumn Court, and like it's just like a whole shit show. Farah is like blasting people, and it's because like that those parts of themselves, even the parts that they don't like, are a part of them. They're not pretending. You don't randomly blast people when that's not who you are. Right. So I think it's hilarious. I'm like, no guys, just own it. Like you're all very made of many things, very kind and like wonderful and amazing, like feminist, cool, and like a little bit psychotic and murderous, like if you mess with anyone that they care about.
Right, as we all are. I mean, I'd murder anybody who messed with you, Misty.
Oh, ditto.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I definitely see that a lot in my personal life. I mean, growing up, my family was completely opposite. Like, as you know, I have like a Persian father, and culturally and just like socioeconomically, like everything, the polar opposite of like how I grew up with my mom. You know, I grew up with my mom in like, you know, when I was very young in like housing projects. And then, you know, my dad lived in like this very nice neighborhood. It was like, it's just polar opposites. And I definitely developed very different ways of presenting myself with different groups of people. And in an odd way, it's made it so that I'm pretty good at dealing with anyone, like no matter like their kind of like status or culture or whatever. But it was also very confusing growing up and like always like, who am I? am I this person or am I that person? And I brought it up in therapy once. I was like, I just kind of want to get back to like this version of myself. And she was like, my therapist was like, well, there is no that version of yourself. Like, you present who you need to present at any given time to like get what you need in that moment, you know, or to like be accepted or like whatever.
Yeah.
But those are all a part of you. Like, they don't go away. They just like kind of step back.
They hide in a closet for a minute. Yeah, I see that. I see that with you because I've seen you be in different situations. You adjust really well to all the differences. For me, I grew up in one family with one way of doing things, very, very vanilla, but we moved around a lot. So like I've lived in Texas, I've lived in Iowa, Nebraska, Washington State, Utah. And I had to learn to be kind of adaptable for those reasons, which I think is, it's not the same as what you're describing, because yours, I think, is more at the core, but I did have to learn to put on a different face based on where I was living. Like when I was in Texas, they called me a Yankee. Like, and when I lived in Washington State, they called me a Southern Belle. Like I never really knew where I belonged. If you asked me where I grew up, I'd say, I don't know. I don't know if I've even grown up yet.
So. Because I think that in our culture, we have this, and maybe it's many cultures or all cultures. I'm sure it's all cultures. It might just be human nature. But I feel like we really want things and people to be as predictable as possible. I'm sure that that's some kind of survival thing that we have. And so the idea that people can be many things, I think, is scary for us because it's unpredictable. But if we just accepted culturally that people can be a lot of things, I think that individually we would struggle with it less. Because like you're saying, like you had to present differently and you didn't know where you fit in. But if you just had this idea culturally growing up that you could be all of those people, you would just be like, yeah, that's right. Right now I'm a Southern Belle. And yesterday I was a Yankee. I'm like, I am all of these things. And the same with me. I had like a constant identity crisis because I was like, okay, am I like this person who like grew up, you know, really rough and tumble and like total latchkey kid and like getting into fights and stuff? Or am I like this person who is like going to, you know, Beverly Hills to go to like Persian New Year parties in a gown? Like, who the hell am I? Like, I could not. But if I had grown up with the idea that like it was normal to just be a lot of things, I think it would have been a lot more healthy for me.
Yeah. First of all, yes, you do clean up nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
You do, but I've also seen pictures of you with a black eye because you got in a bar fight. Like that's.
Yeah.
That's
just... My 20s were rough.
And I love that about you. I love that you're so like, I can come over to your house and you're walking around, sorry, but like with your robe open, like just wandering around. <half naked. laughs> And then we go out and you're wearing like this slinky little black dress. Like you look fire. Like
thank you.
It's not just the physical stuff. Like I think we do kind of present in different ways. And if we didn't, people would think we're weird. Like I said, if I greeted you with the same excitement that I greeted, like, I don't know, my long lost sibling, I don't have any long lost siblings, but like, if I wore the same expressions on my face, people would think I was queasy. Like, we're all about masks. Like I wear a mask at work when I have a job, I wear a mask at home, I wear a mask when I go out to the grocery store. Like we're all different kinds of people and it's all us.
Yeah. And I think that that's the part that helps it to feel more healthy is like, we're not, because I think that like, I've always had this idea myself, like, oh, when I'm at, I'm not good at fully masking anywhere. Like I kind of, have just, I think, spent too much of my life in survival mode to have the energy. I do it well enough, but then I get tired. So at work, I can do it for like the first 6 months, and then that just starts peeling away, and then I just start, unfortunately, being more and more my, like, I guess my most comfortable self. But I think that I always was like, oh, I like hate this situation because I'm pretending, and I like hate this situation because I'm being fake. And now, like, I'm kind of coming to terms with, like, I'm not pretending or being fake. That's just a version of myself. And that's that version of myself. It is still my true self. It's my true business self, you know, around like my father's family versus like my mother. They're both true versions. There are versions that I feel where I'm just the most relaxed. And that's definitely when I'm with my friends. Hence the like open robe and just being a hot mess and going to, you know, but yeah, I think, and also another thing that I was always confused about growing up is like, just like gender stuff, because I look very, in my opinion, I might be wrong, I look very feminine. Like I kind of have like long features, like, you know, big eyes, whatever. But like, I have been told my entire life that you're cool like a dude because like I have very like masculine energy.
Oh yeah. But that masculine energy just means you're not afraid to say what you're thinking about.
Right. Like, but I think it throws people. Like I've had a lot of people be like, I don't know, I just didn't expect you to like act the way
yeah. that you are. You are the Felix of this relationship. Let's go back to Felix. Like
Felix.
Yes, Felix from Stray Kids. So Misty introduced me to Stray Kids. I'm a huge BTS fan, have been for a while. But Misty showed me Felix, who is this beautiful, beautiful, like kind of young man with a voice like James Earl Jones style. It's so confusing, right? Like Misty,
yeah.
you don't expect that.
No, I think that Felix is like the perfect example of the, of like this concept of duality that we struggle with in our culture.
Yeah.
I was telling you before, I love watching Felix reaction videos. Y'all, if you're listening and you need to kill an hour.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Felix reaction videos are amazing because it's people watching Stray Kids videos like Maniac, and Felix walks on and he's got very cat-like features and he moves like a cat and he's just graceful and just pretty, like beautiful. He looks fey, like no joke. And then his voice is so masculine and
so deep, masculine.
And it's just, it catches everybody off guard. So you watch his reaction videos and people are like, oh my God, like how did that come out of him? That can't be his real voice, which it is. I've heard him use it a cappella and it is his real voice, which is insane. But one of the reaction videos, the guy was like, oh yeah, like I'll never get over Felix because, you know, I watched this documentary, some competition. I'll put it in the notes because I can't remember the name of it. Legend something, a bunch of K-pop bands like competing. I think it came out last year. But he's like, Felix off camera is like so silly and feminine and shy. And like, and then when you see him on stage or in videos, like he is simultaneously just pretty and graceful and beautiful and the most masculine member of the group.
Masculine, yeah.
So masculine, like with this dark, powerful, like dark god energy that's just like fire and like magnetic.
All of your expectations. Like you don't see that coming unless you know.
Right. And I think that the fact that it is so shocking to everyone and impactful is the fact that we kind of have this idea that we expect someone to just be like one thing so that they're predictable and we can read them and understand them easily. And then you have someone like Felix who is like the epitome of like duality, just completely opposite human beings in one person. And you know, he would be the greatest actor on earth if he was pretending. But you can tell he's not. Like he gets up on stage, like he knows he's fine as hell and he knows he's powerful and he gets up on stage and is just fierce, like just, or in his videos where he's like in thunderous, where he's like, I'm not sorry, I'm dirty. And his voice is deep and he's just looking into the camera and he's like so like gritty and pretty. And it's just, and he's got that long, beautiful blonde extensions.
I love it. I'm so happy about this because I have been trying to get Misty on the K-pop train for years. I love that we're here right now.
Well, you know what it took? It took me connecting K-pop to something I was already into that's kind of creepy, because I got into K-pop. So Cynthia has shown me BTS videos before and I liked it. I was like, that's really cool. Like the dancing is cool. And I have liked it and I've seen their stuff on Instagram. But what got me super drawn into the Stray Kids
was that now, sounds like Azrael.
Yeah, I was just scrolling and this video like snippet came up on like TikTok or something, and it was Felix and he was just like maniac, and I was like, oh my god, it's Azrael. Like that is
cool. She sent it to me immediately. I'm like, yes, this is like if we did like a K-pop version of ACOTAR, yes, absolutely. We're casting that already, right?
Yes. Sarah J Maas, if you are listening or any of the producers of the show coming out, like you need K-pop stars in the TV show. Because like I'm telling you right now, Felix, and I'm going to mispronounce his name. I'm really working on it. But Hyunjin, guys, correct me. I'm new to the group still. But like, they look straight face. Yeah, please put it in the comments, like how to pronounce it, because I need to learn. Straight face. Like they literally need just throw some glitter at them, and they can pull on just be face.
I mean, I'll be the glitter thrower. I volunteer for that.
Is that like an ACOTAR fluffer? Like just to be the glitter thrower?
The K-pop glitter thrower for ACOTAR. Absolutely, that's my job.
Oh God, so good. Yeah, but like it's just a fascinating concept to me, and I think so helpful for all of us who, you know, some people, I think a lot of like some people just flawlessly kind of do this already, but I never did. I really struggle with it, and I think part of that too is in our culture we're obsessed with authenticity.
Yeah,
like to the point where it's really harmful. Like I don't know if you guys remember Tupac. I remember reading an interview or like an essay or something written about him, and you know he went to like a private performing arts school, and you know he did have a rough life growing up, but wasn't, from what I understood, if you guys can correct me in the comments because I might be totally wrong, he was not like into tons of trouble and stuff growing up. He actually started getting really into trouble and really into like these dangerous situations once he kind of joined the West Coast and started rapping with them. And there was this pressure to like be who he rapped about, like full time. Like, because in the US, like you can't be a rapper and like be inauthentic, meaning that like you know, there's this idea back then at least where like if you sang a rapped about the streets, like you need to be street all the time, which like I get to an extent, but also again, like people can be a lot of parts, like, you know, so it can be like detrimental when we feel the need to be like this extreme of authenticity in our culture at all times.
I can't be authentic all the time. If I were authentic around my very conservative parents, they would probably disown me.
But it's hard. Like I actually really struggle with it. Like I was talking to Nikki about this, like one of my good friends who's kind of similar to me in this regard, that when I'm in situations where I'm unable to be authentic to a certain degree, I'm like ashamed. Like I feel like deep shame after. Like I'm like, that is not who I am. Like I am not that person. Like I am this person.
Wait, have you ever felt that way around me though? Like,
oh God, no. No, like performance goes way up to a place where I'm just not even comfortable. And then after I leave being I feel gross. Like I'm just like, who was that person? Like that's not who I am. But like it is. It is who I am in that situation, I guess. Right. And there are different parts of me that I would like to bring forward more in those situations. And so Does that make sense? Like, I guess that's what I need to focus on more, not the fact that I'm being quote-unquote fake.
If you were 100% like Mistykins, like what would that look like for you? I mean, if there were one Misty to rule all the world.
Oh, it's who I am with my friends. I mean, like that is just me being me. Like, you know, like when we went to Denver and I was like skipping around and being ridiculous. I mean, and then we're like having really serious political talks 5 minutes later and, you know.
And then drinking champagne and eating strawberries and riding on scooters.
Yeah. And then like crying, like that's kind of who I am. You know, like I went to dinner last night, you know, for Alex. She's often on this podcast, but she's resting after her big night last night. But I went to her birthday party last night and I, you know, like I had my earbuds in, AirPods, whatever. And I was like listening to K-pop while we were walking from the restaurant to the bar. And like, you know, my good friend Rochelle runs up and like locks arms with me and she's like, give me the other one. And we're like listening to a K-pop band that she's not into yet, but I'm working on it. And we're like skipping to the club and like pretending that we know how to do like, you know, a choreographed dance together. And then, you know, we went to dinner and then before that at dinner, like I was talking like very seriously about parenting with another friend and about like the state of the world and like another friend's business that she just started. I mean, I think that I tend to find friends who can be all over the map too. And I think that that allows me to kind of feel the most like myself because I can be silly and I can be serious and I can be mad and I can be sad and I can be like all of those things. Does that make sense? What about you?
Me? I don't know. You know, like since the beginning of the pandemic, I've just kind of turned into a snail and pulled back into my shell. So I don't really have all those experiences, but I once upon a time decided to go to Europe with somebody I didn't really know. So that was an interesting experience. We went for a month and I remember crying in the airport in Barcelona. And this human being said, I don't know what I should do. Do you want a hug or something? Like, I love that. I thought that was a very authentic reaction. Like, what is the appropriate response for right now? So this was Misty. This is kind of how we met, right?
Yes. Well, actually, you were the editor at the newspaper I worked at the time.
An editor. I'd just gotten dumped.
We weren't friends. She was like my boss.
We did not know each other very well. Like she was turning in a story. She came up to ask me like how to turn the story. And I started sobbing on her arm and told her I wanted to go to Europe. And she was like, I know some people. So it was interesting getting to know somebody that way though. Like traveling across the pond and like having these, interesting experiences where I was discovering things about myself at the same time that Misty was also discovering things about myself, which was awkward for her, I'm sure. But yeah.
No, I think it was a very authentic way to get acquainted because like when you're traveling together for a month and there's just all these extreme circumstances, like we missed a flight, like we went to the wrong airport once.
We got to book a hostel in one city. I mean,
we were just like, she was going through a breakup. Like I was kind of trying to figure out what my next steps were in life. And so like there was just like no holding back. Like there was like crying and arguments and laughter and giggling. And it was just kind of like, just no pretenses. Like we kind of we were thrown into like, this is who we are, I guess, accept it or don't.
That was years. That was, what was that? Like almost 20 years ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah.
A long time ago. And we've been friends ever since because I remember being in, I think it was Barcelona, and I was passive aggressively trying to like give you advice on how to take a picture of me, I think. And you called me. I remember you saying, I hate that. Just tell me what you want. And for me, that was a big I said, hey, when I took your picture, I did it this way. And you're like, dude, just tell me what you want me to do. And I think I remember that a lot because I was just like, why am I not more like that? Is such a like, I was raised very, very conservative. And there's a lot of me that's still trying to break out of that, even to this day. Sometimes when I feel weirdly guilty about stuff, this is going back to the mask conversation. I'm just like, where is this coming from? Is this coming from my conservative upbringing, or is this coming from a real place? And most of the time it's coming from like that upbringing, those things that are just kind of like pumped into you from a young age. And you don't even know why you feel weird or guilty about it until you think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's just kind of like a core, like part of your core base masks.
Yeah. I often have to ask myself, do I feel weird about this for an actual reason? Or is this just something that's lingering?
My therapist about like, those are things that you don't feel like serve you anymore. And so it's frustrating that they keep making an appearance. But what if you were just like, oh yeah, this is a part of who I am. And it, but they don't serve me, but they still, they're not me. They're just that part that I don't need right now.
You just have to recognize that that's why they're there. Like they're for a reason, even if they're not functional anymore. And just FYI, I'm still looking at Stray Kids tickets.
We're going. Okay. But like, to be fair, Cynthia, like that part, those parts of you, they do serve you sometimes. Like they serve you in business settings, I think a lot, because often you take, you know, higher up positions in Utah and you're working with a lot of those kinds. They're working within the confines of those cultures and you know how to get along with those people. Well, even if it's not your optimal, like even if you're not joyous while you're doing it, like you can kind of seamlessly transition into someone that they can feel comfortable with.
I can be that conservative badass bitch if I want to.
Well, I don't know if I would say you ever act conservative. You're very, very progressive. But I mean, like you can make them feel comfortable, like instead of them feeling like judged or like, you know, offending them, like you can be yourself, but also kind of, I think, seamlessly kind of be in that situation as well.
I think masks are important. Like they're an important part of us fitting into the world that is kind of ever changing, right? Like we have a mask when we go to work, we have a mask when we're at home, we have a mask when we're with our friends. Like I'm not going to talk about the same things with my friends that I talk about or that I think about at home, like whatever bathroom stuff I'm thinking about, like we kind of modify everything, right? Like it's important. And like I said, when I was in that psychology class, they said, if you greeted people on the street with the same vim and vigor that you greet like a long lost friend, people would think you were crazy all the time. So we, we modify, we put on our masks. And Misty, is it ACOTAR where she actually wears a mask, or was that the other one?
It's ACOTAR. Yeah. It's NASA.
Yeah. Okay. Oh no, but. Sorry, I'm thinking Poppy. So that's not ACOTAR.
From Blood and Ash.
Where she actually wears the mask for a long time so that people can't see her face.
Yeah, and but it's like so on point because like when she's wearing the veil, she is timid and she is compliant. And then she takes that shit off and she's like in fighting leathers and an amazing archer.
Once she removes it, she gets to become her whole self. So that kind of falls into the same area.
But all of those are who she is, just different parts of who she is, which that is the thing that I like the most. And anyway, we are out of time. Thank you everybody for joining us. Please put any questions, comments, agreements, disagreements, whatever in the comments below. I will add all of the other information in here. Thank you, Cynthia, for this chat. And see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to You're Gonna Be Great. You can always find episode notes and the transcript on the website, You're Gonna Be Great. Follow us on Instagram at You're Gonna Be Great to see what's next. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share it with your friends or take a moment to leave a review. Thanks so much. See you next week. And remember, you're gonna be great.